All right, what's going on, folks? My name is David, and I am going to be, and I'm welcoming you to the Most High Show. If you're unfamiliar with the Most High Show, this is a platform where we are doing our best to end the stigma of addiction and end the stigma of God. We are, this is like a place of spirituality where we talk about recovery, and we have people come on and share their real stories about recovery, the struggles of recovery, the joy of recovery. We got a guest producer, Emmanuel, on the ones and twos today, and we are going to be coming back after this introduction. I'm going to have a mystic moment with my brother Christian after this. Emmanuel.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
And we're live.
All right, folks, welcome back. That was our intro. Everything, by the way, all that is done by my brother Christian. The setup, the music, all that. So this is all his creative masterpiece that we are on a weekly basis. So what we do after the intro is we have a thing that we call the mystic moment, and the person bringing in the mystic moment is my brother, the Reverend Christian Jansen.
Yo,
what's up, man?
What up? I love intros.
Well, thank you. I'm trying, man. Yeah. I'm trying to get better. All right. You have the mystic moment. And yeah, I love these, by the way. These
thank you.
Cool. All right, keeps me on my toes.
Well, here we go.
Here we go.
So this is, we're coming out of the bad Griffith, a new creation in Christ.
Amen.
Bad Griffith was a Benedictine monk born in England, educated in Oxford. After 20 years as a monk in England, he went to India, 1955, to find the other half of his soul.
Wow.
In 93, after 38 years in India, he died at an ashram that he had directed for many years, which he established as a center for people of different religions and traditions to meet in an atmosphere of prayer and meditation.
Wow, like a holy ground.
Yeah.
Come as you are.
Yeah. There's actually a little documentary, some independent film made of him.
I know, I've seen his face. Yeah. And I don't know if it's like on Hulu or something, but I've seen his face, so I'm interested.
So I'm going to read out of one of his chapters here in the early on. He says, all right. Because of our Western prejudice of excessively educating the mind, we are in danger of our religion being only in the head. Meditation should be a way of bringing it down from the head to the heart. The fathers used to say, bring the thoughts from the head into the heart and keep them there. The heart is the center where the head joins the rest of the body. And so, in taking us from the head to the heart, our meditation involves and renews our whole being. We begin to see now what is the meaning of a new creation. Here we go.
All right.
It is to transcend the separate self with its illusionary images and desires to encounter reality, the reality of our own being and of the world in which we live. It may sound very easy to encounter reality, but it is prevented by the images which we project. Mm-hmm. We're still going. Okay. Scientists today tell us that the entire three-dimensional world is all a projection. The world is a field of energies vibrating in different frequencies. And within that field, there are various structures or forms in which we interpret as a three-dimensional universe. Mm-hmm. But this universe is a projection. And so, in a sense, an illusionary appearance beyond which is reality. Prayer, meditation, is the way to get beyond the appearance and to touch reality. The reality is God, who is always revealing himself behind all appearances.
Oh, man. That's a big topic.
Well, I had to go extra mystic because I'm also the guest.
Yeah.
So I was like traveling to play two roles tonight.
So you want me to go off of that or you want to go first?
No, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
All right. Well, the first thing, it's like when you first started reading it, because it this organically, just through the words that he's saying, kind of like takes you out there.
Yeah.
Like makes you see like behind the curtain type of imagery in my head. I think a lot about perception. You know what I mean? As a counselor, I'm always trying to, you know, when I meet somebody in their struggles, I'm always trying to get them to be in reality, in the reality of the moment. You know, what's factual? What's happening right now? You know, where are your assumptions, like, mixing up
right. What's
actually happening? But reading that, like, from what you wrote, it's like, man, you know, it is a perception. I mean, you know, our eyeballs are just lenses and seeing things within its capabilities. You know, it's not really like that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when it starts to get kind of fuzzy to me.
Yeah.
But the save of all that, when I feel like, you know, in that reading, I feel kind of like, it's like beyond my control type deal.
Yeah.
But the save in it is God.
Right. God is reality.
God grounds the,
this
whole illusion of what we perceive as reality.
Right.
And what we see and say, that's real. That's reality.
Yeah.
Am I on the right track?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but.
I always say this to you. I always
like,
say this.
Yeah. You know, I think. I think E-Man's asleep at the wheel.
Come on now. Come on, man. Stay with us.
Well, I think
we'll
the reading got to E-Man. Because he was staring out like he saw something that wasn't here.
Right, right.
Yeah, I think
I remember you guys having a good discussion one time, and it was clipped.
Yeah.
That was a good talk.
Yeah.
I feel like it's on the same ball field of this discussion.
Yeah, because I would think, like, if I was to put it in my words, I would say, because it is a struggle to when someone starts talking about what we know the material world as being illusionary, it loses me a little bit.
Right.
For a couple reasons. One, it loses me because of the Jesus story. God comes in to the form of a man and reveals himself through his creation.
Right.
So that to me tells me that God and man are indwelling in the same material world and that there's something about this material world that's relevant and important enough that
for
God would
that.
Interact
yeah.
in it. Right. So that's one thing about this is all an illusion. Now, I guess, you know, maybe it's that word illusion makes it sound like it's not important.
Or it makes it sound like it's not real.
Yeah.
It's an illusion. It's what you're seeing isn't what it is.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. And I always say, like, you know, you try to tell that to the rabbit who's in the wolf's mouth. You
right.
know?
Yeah,
it's all
that's
an
great.
Illusion.
Yeah.
How? She's like, it'll be okay. You don't even exist.
Oh, and another thing I related to, too, at the beginning of that, he talks about, like, you know, I guess he was basically pitting Eastern culture versus Western culture.
Bro, wake up, dog.
Switch the camera lanes, man. Come on, bro.
You just press a button.
Yeah. No, but he is pitting, you know, Western culture versus Eastern culture. And I really, you know, from very limited, you know, influences from the Eastern culture, you know, I really can't, you know, pit those two together. But being in the Western culture, I do get it where it's all about, like logical reasoning. You know, tangible things.
Yeah, evidence.
You know, yeah, evidence. You know, proof.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff. And it's very and honestly, I think that, and I think today is a big proof of that thought process really leaving spirituality and the thought of God and something bigger than ourselves, like as an illusion itself.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's almost like if you do believe in God, you're almost like a fool.
Yeah, silly.
Yeah, it's like, how you believe in, you know, like, well, don't we already know that ain't.
Right.
You know, it'd be like praying to Zeus or, you know.
I've had people tell someone very close to me, my closest person to me, like, oh man, I thought you were smarter than that.
Right.
Maybe right. feel some type of way. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Right. And so this yeah. is like kind of tapping into, you know, like this thing can go anywhere. Right. You can talk.
Yeah,
about
that's big.
How, right. You can talk about how, you know, like what's that? Where they look into like deep, deep. They zoom in. You know, and uh-huh. they can tell, and they can see like how things are moving, and science is like seeing that there's so much more. And so this is how I simplify it. Uh-huh. You and I see on a certain, we see a certain, there's a light spectrum.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So there's like infrared,
right.
Ultraviolet. There's a bunch of light in this room right now.
Right.
But our eyeballs only can see a portion of that light.
Right. It can only see what it can see.
Right. Now, if we put on a certain lens, we can see everything the infrared different. Light. And the same thing with, like, sound, right? Like, in the, you know, back in the day, you used to listen to a radio.
Mm-hmm.
And the radio would pick up radio waves. Well, you can't right. hear the radio wave. You need a radio to interpret the radio wave.
Right.
So there's a lot of stuff that we... just right now, and you think of it in light, mm-hmm. there's a lot happening in light that we're not privy to.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it's not existing.
Right. It's definitely there.
It definitely
we just can't
is there.
See it. We're
just don't, in our naked eye, we are not able to measure it and see it.
Right.
Right. And that's kind of like what I feel like is a simplification of this, like a beginning to start unraveling this illusion concept.
Right.
It's to say that there are things going on that you're not always aware of because... we are in this material world, and so there's more to it than what we may think. The other thing is, we talked about this in our Mystic Monday meeting this Monday.
Okay.
The reality of God, who is always revealing himself behind all appearance. The reality is God.
Mm.
So there's a thing called the chain of being. The chain of being is like an old art piece that essentially is God on top, angels, humans.
Yeah,
certain mammals.
Right.
You know, then you got like other lower level mammals, you know, then you got reptiles and fish. And so it's this chain of being. It creates this hierarchical thing, right? And so then there's Paul Tillich when he talks about God being the ground of being. So the very essence of life is God, right? So, but a lot of us have been influenced by this chain of being thinking.
At the top.
Hierarchical.
Right.
Right.
And look so, up at them.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the example I always use is like you have, if you have a boss and we were having a conversation, you would say your boss is above you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But your boss's office might be right next to you.
Right.
He's not three floors up. He's right. on the same floor as you. But you would say he's above you because you're saying he's higher than you.
Right.
He's of a higher authority.
Mm-hmm.
So when we read in Christian scriptures and in Jewish scriptures, we see higher. God above, right? The
and
Lord
it's told,
on high.
It's told about the Most High.
The Most High.
Yeah.
We think in terms of this chain of being concept, mm-hmm. linear, and we think up there.
Right.
But I don't think that's what it's getting at. And I don't take credit for that. That was N.T. Wright wrote that in one of his books.
Right.
He was much smarter than I'll ever be. But he talks about when we think high and God above, we literally think above.
Right.
But the thing that gets snapped in half is Christ's resurrection and ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit. That God and man are no longer separate. That God dwells within you.
Inside.
Right.
So it's that, not, it's like it's not looking up. It's you're looking in.
Right. We're not praying to a God outside of ourselves.
No.
We're praying to a God that's within us.
Inside of us, right.
Doesn't mean we are God before, you know, people try to strip my reverend title.
Oh, now he's blasphemizing.
Right. So it's just something to think about. And I think,
cool.
like, when you breathe in and you breathe out, like you said, the present moment.
Yeah.
Right? Where you're, it's like, you know, you always hear that old school sponsor saying, right? Where are your feet at?
Right.
Well, they're at the house. Okay. Then be at the house. But our magnificent, magnifying mind will take us
everywhere but there. You are so far away, man.
Right.
You know, and just looking at that, the cover of that, right? I mean, there's a lot in that that is would be seen as controversial. you know, spiritually. Well, when this book
came out, meditation wasn't as popular as it was. Came out in 92.
Right.
So Christians were still very much against meditation. They saw it as a form of...
like, you know, don't meditate.
Yes.
Pray.
Right.
Because you don't know where them spirits will take you when you start meditating. That was told to me personally when speaking in church about, like, you know, the thought of, you know, meditation and, like, asking about that in Bible studies when I was younger, you know. And it's still like that. I mean, you know, people are traditional, man. People, you know, get spooked out by things that are different, you know. But that right there, just putting that guy's, you know, you know, the way, just the look.
Yeah.
It's going to, you know, turn people over.
But, you know, like, he was a Benedictine monk.
Amen.
You know? And he doesn't, if you read the book with an open mind, you find it.
That's it.
He is not blaspheming Christ. He is glorifying Christ over and over and constantly.
Come on, open your minds.
Yeah.
People, open your minds. Okay? Please. You know, like, I took it as when you read that he went to India to find the other side of himself, right?
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's going to go worship or do something, whatever.
Yeah.
He's finding himself, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? And what a great place to do some soul searching other than India, like the oldest beginning, all, you know, one of where it all, one of the places where it has its own ancient culture and ways of doing things. So I love that.
Yeah. All right. That's what I got.
Good stuff, folks. That was the Mystic Moment. And when we come back after these messages, my brother is going to be sitting in the seat of service, and we're just going to cut up and chop things up a little bit and see where it goes, all right? After this.
Why Most High Media? Because I don't have the answers. Other people do. And learning from the experiences, the stories, the perspectives, seeing people who have been through the darkest of circumstances and then have come out of it on the other side and have lived extremely exciting, fulfilling lives and tapped into a way of being and a way of living, but it's actually real and obtainable, that's why.
We packed up to tell the story of a young lady who lost her daughter.
So there's a extremely high correlation between suicide, mental illness, and substance abuse.
Come on the ground. Come on the ground. Sir.
I think as of this year, there's about 14 million people in America who have a co-occurring disorder, and a little more than 7% of them seek help for it.
You know, in my addiction, I felt like I was better off dead.
I'm here to talk about my daughter, Megan, who committed suicide when she was 28.
There's enough hope in the people that do recover to where I keep going and keep showing up at places where I'm needed.
If you need some things, like love and change, I'm not talking coins and things, or diamond rings. Everybody wants some change, but don't nobody wanna do nothing till the pain they can't stomach, and they told me that there. I believed them, so I gave them to the. Everybody thought that I was tripping, saying that I'm be acting different.
What's going on, folks? Welcome back. Welcome back. This is the Most High Show. Before we get to the meat of this program, though, I do want to show y'all. You see this bucket hat I'm wearing, man? Christian and I just got back from a kick-ass event with Eternal Strength out in Alpharetta, man. My brother Wes and Zach, man, they're doing big things over there. I always mispronounce this word. Can you pronounce it?
What?
Experiential?
No, Eternal Strength.
No, I know Eternal Strength, but they're kind of...
Experiential therapy.
Experiential therapy, yeah, which is so cool. It has all kinds of art and singing and psychodrama. It's such a dope way to give people some help and get them over, you know, whatever obstacles they're facing. It was a true family affair. So shout out to Wes and Zach, Eternal Strength. And now we are going to get to the meat. And my brother that went from the mystic guy to the brother sitting in the seat of service right now, because we had a guest that was unable to make it tonight. So it's you and me, bro.
Let's go.
You know what I mean? And, man, I don't even know. The topic that you brought up for the mystic moment was so cool and so deep that I hope that we can follow it up with some interesting discussion on what I want to bring in. So I think this is like a common question in the Christianity, I would say, okay? And a question that's always asked, and I think it's good in recovery too, because I'm sure if you're on the fence in your spirituality as well as your sobriety, I would imagine that this question has relevance too, okay? So, and I would call it the necessity of evil.
Damn.
Okay?
Just keep it light.
The necessity of bad and evil, you know, because and it's often talked about. I mean, that's a pretty popular discussion in faith-based circles, you know, they're talking about why do bad things happen, why is there evil, if there is a God, why are, you know, people dying, you know, in really bad suffering type ways, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think about that a lot too, you know. And even as we kick off this conversation, you know, I sit in front of you, a man that is really, whatever good comes from me, that like I can, that something good that you can say about me is all about how my life changed from being really bad and being in the darkness. Mm. You know what I mean? And now, you know, I've made some changes. I made, you know, in my opinion, better choices. I feel like I'm walking towards the Lord instead of trying to hide from him. And it helped my sobriety. I do work a program that means the world to me. And all those things come from something, you know. So it starts bad. And then they're like, oh, man, you're shining now because now you're good.
Yeah.
I believe like your lessons in life come from the bad things that you experience.
Yeah.
For the most part. You know, but then I don't want, then I think of like slavery.
Yeah, right.
The Holocaust.
Right.
And like really hardcore times of evil, you know, that are even happening right now as we speak, you know. So that's the topic.
Yeah, shit. Just real light stuff. Light work.
You know, and I want to tie in like, because I really think it's not going to be hard for us to transition this into, or bring this into the world of recovery. Because if you are an addict, I know where you're at. And it's not good. If you're an active addiction, it's not good, man. You're in a bad, dark hole of a place where you're lying, cheating, manipulating, using people, taking advantage of the ones. I mean, really bad shit. You know what I'm saying? And the idea is to stop that and make better decisions and do good things. So I think that ties into recovery.
Absolutely. Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind with that is, you know, I think it's from the promises, right? We shall not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Uh-huh. That our past becomes our chief operator in us being of service to someone else. Uh-huh. So in recovery, when you sit across the table from someone, when I sit across the table from someone and they start telling me about their stuff, you know, I can make suggestions, but in that relationship, what works best is me to explain what I went through.
Yeah.
So then I start talking about the darkest moments of my life.
Right.
But the reason why the darkest moments of my life mean something is because I don't live that way no more. Right?
Right.
Like, you know, if I'm still living that way and I'm telling you about it, well, that's just the story. You know, there's no power in it. But because there was transformation, there's some power in it. So, you know.
So yeah, that's what I mean. So like, if the bad's never there,
right?
Where do you go?
Right.
Where is it? You know, where is the power? If the if the evil things and bad things, and however you want to paint it, the dark things, you know, the failures, the lies,
yeah,
you know, the hurt. If those experiences are not going on, the struggle of getting out of it and doing something I would consider better, active addiction, sobriety.
Yeah.
Sobriety, recovery. Recovery, spirituality. Like that's a good, you know, it's walking up the steps. It's walking up a ladder.
Right.
But you're starting somewhere that's definitely not good.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the thing about the Jesus story is, you know, you don't ascend until you descend. Jesus just didn't hop, skip, and jump from, you know, from Galilee to the throne.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like he had to die.
And not just fall asleep,
yeah,
have his kids, you know, have his holding hands and just like good night. Yeah. I mean, it was a vicious, most vicious that you could possibly think of way to perish.
So if that story is to inform us any here, the story is telling us that the death is a part of life. Mm-hmm. That the death was necessary for the ascension, right? And it's the same thing in nature, right? There's fires going on in California right now,
right?
And that's horrible destruction. People are losing their homes, and God forbid someone loses their life, you know, or their pets or something like that. And that's horrible. But in fire in a forest, it's like reclaims the forest. And then everything that grows after that grows more lush. You know what I'm saying?
It's almost like Job.
Well, in every spring, everything pops up. But we don't see the flowers aren't just bloomed unless they've been modified in some way by a scientist
Some kid hooking up some some shrooms or something like
that.
I can make these flowers
but
just
pop even
right
in
out.
The seasons of winter, the trees lose everything. But it's still standing, it's still a tree.
Yeah.
Right? And even in the night and the day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you don't got to go far to see this yin and yang.
That's what I was thinking, the balance of
happening.
Right.
Just look at nature. Jesus points at nature all the time. It's always pointing at the vines and the shepherds and the coexisting in nature, because you don't have to look far to see the death and rebirth in
Savage
nature
Garden.
Consistently happening. Yeah. Right? So why would we think our existence on this earth would be different?
Right.
While we are the exception, this man's hubris. We think we're above.
That happens down there to them.
Right.
But in our civil society,
yeah.
You know, why are these, you know, horrible things happening? It's we're above it. But it's, in my opinion, it has to be, man. Suffering is a part of it all. And it's not that I don't want to say like I love suffering, but it's just like to me when somebody says, and this really sticks with me, you know, my man Costa said this a while ago that he's a grateful alcoholic. I mean, that is a statement to make, meaning thank God for all the stuff that he suffered from to put in his head in the place that it was at the time that he said that he was grateful.
Now, suffering, I like to break suffering into a category or two.
All right.
As a human, there is suffering, period. Can't escape it. Mm-hmm. However, there is a thing called unnecessary suffering. Mm-hmm. It's where you're suffering more than you necessarily have to.
You're putting yourself through, I think that's what you call abuse.
Yeah, it's self-abuse.
Yeah.
It's self-damnation. It's self-sabotaging.
That is a great point, man.
Yeah, and at the hands sometimes another person, right? People can be in abusive relationships or, you know, there's societies today that are living under dictatorships, right?
Yeah.
That's unnecessary suffering. Mm.
Life is a struggle in itself.
Right. So suffering, it's to me, it's kind of broken into two categories. And when we see unnecessary suffering, as someone who has experienced freedom from unnecessary suffering, we have a duty. You and I would say we had a duty.
Absolutely.
To go and alleviate the unnecessary suffering. Right?
To give some assistance to that, to stop and right. try our best to.
But then you start bitching about the rest of your stuff. And I'm just like, dude, sorry, bro, but there's a certain level of pain you're just going to have so good. As a human.
That's
so right? You know? But
that's very real this, talk. That's very real, man. Yeah.
Yeah, all this extra shit, though, you don't got to go through that.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the thing that why we're doing what we're doing tonight. Right?
Right.
We're trying to alleviate this unnecessary suffering in the world and community that we know and understand and know that we can be helpful in. Right?
Right.
I don't know what to do or how to be helpful in, you know, these other areas.
Right.
But what do I know? And let me be helpful there.
Yeah. You know, it just brings you saying that the thing that popped into my head is, you know, dealing with somebody that you assist in getting into a detox, right? Mm-hmm. They leave maybe being a vicious heroin addict, right? All jacked up, scarred up, got nothing. Who knows what they did to get the drugs, okay?
Right.
And they get into detox and they're grateful. They go through that suffering to get them out of the detox, to be clean.
Yeah.
And then they get into, you know, like a safe environment where they can focus on their sobriety, right? And that moment of time, once reality hits them in that moment, they're like, man, they're trying to rob me out of my, they're charging me $275 a week. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, what you go, what happened to you, so much of that was unnecessary.
Yeah.
So we step in and help.
Right.
Then you get you to where you're actually facing life on life things, and they're like, oh, I think they're trying to get me. I'll just check my, it's like 250 or something. Right. I'm in arrears.
Right.
I'm like, bro, that's life. That's
15 regular, days ago.
That's regular suffering.
Yes.
Yeah. And now you're about to leave?
Right.
For what?
Yeah.
You know what you look like 2 weeks ago? So, you know, it's a real, that makes, to me, that's how I'm viewing what you're saying, like the unnecessary suffering and suffering, man, which is a part of life.
Right. And what causes unnecessary suffering? I would say there are some external factors, right? There might be family of origin stuff, right? And there might be growing up in an alcoholic home or in an abusive environment or in an environment where, you know, there's drugs and you know, loose living kind of thing, right? And so it's easy, and you kind of fall victim to that, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you kind of pick up patterns and behaviors based on your environment.
Right.
And maybe you even internally, you start to believe things like, I'm not shit, I won't ever be anything. You know, my dad wasn't anything, mom wasn't anything, I'm not going to be anything.
Right.
And so then the story starts playing, and then you start believing that story as reality, as true, and now you're living based on this thing that doesn't even exist. It's just you made it up in your head.
Right.
And now you're 10, 20 years, 30 years down the line going, someone, and then someone shows up and says, oh, you don't have to live that way. You know?
Yeah.
No, that's a story you've been telling yourself.
Right.
I used to live like you. That's the powerful. I used to be
that's where
like
you, that. Well, that's just like what you said. I have to give them, I got to relate to them and what I've been through.
Right.
And that's like the value of, I think that's like the value of, you know, it kind of like swings me back around to this whole thing because, you know, if you didn't experience the things, I guess it would be like unnecessary suffering. You know, if you didn't go through that and pull yourself out of that, that unnecessary darkness, the lies that were told to you, or how, you know, you were influenced in negative aspects of your life. You know, what made you think that way? What makes you, you know, how can you relate to this dude is going through such a rough time, right? Mm. It's, but the necessity of that is saving another, that's how it's necessary. Like, what you've been through is actually saving somebody's life now.
Yes. Now, that's the thing. Let me just say, and then you brought this up, and I this is the thing. Like, I don't know a lot about God.
Yeah.
But I do know that God doesn't waste pain.
Oh.
I know that.
I love that.
I know that. I know when it comes to human pain,
yeah,
God never wastes your pain, and God never lets you suffer alone. You may not acknowledge it, you may not see it, but God is always with us in the pain, and God always redeems our suffering if we surrender to it.
Amen.
That's the thing about a life with a higher power, God.
Listen,
Christ.
People, are you listening? Are you listening?
And dude, I mean, this is why the Jesus story is still relevant to me, is because that shows up in the Jesus story.
Yeah.
You know, if pass this cup, if I ain't got to take this cup, you know, sweating in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating blood. Look, I ain't got to take it. Just, if there's another way.
Yeah.
Ain't no other way. This is
you
got
to go through this.
And so there's no way. That was necessary suffering, right?
Mm-hmm.
Takes his necessary suffering. You know, and then the ascension afterwards, the resurrection afterwards. The resurrection ain't nothing without the cross, right?
Amen. Nope.
The cross, the death on display for everyone to see.
Yeah.
The whole thing is like showing to us. It's like Richard Rohr calls Jesus the archetype for humanity, and so he's resetting things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so brilliant. Whether you believe it or not, dude, just read it for what it is.
It is an amazing thing.
It's teaching and telling us something about what suffering is, why suffering, and what can happen after suffering, right?
Whoa.
That coming back. And this is what Jesus teaches us is, you know, he shows up. One of the first things he says to his disciples is, you got anything to eat? Not, y'all left me up on the cross.
Yeah.
What the hell? You got anything to eat? Immediately, let's just fellowship.
Let's get down. Let's sit down.
Yeah. It's also doing let's another thing. It's proving that he was in a physical form, right? But also, he's teaching us how to handle suffering.
What, like the ultimate life lesson in that right there.
This is how you handle
how to
suffering.
Deal with it.
This is how you how handle you deal being with a life.
It's how you handle dealing with the struggles.
He could
of
have
life.
Came up. They did me wrong. Did you see what they did?
Yeah.
They let that dude Barabbas go. Yeah. You see that, man? They did
look
me
at
dirty.
Yourselves.
But he teaches us how to handle suffering, how to be a victim, teaching us, showing us that, dude, he took it and then he kept it moving. Jesus wasn't no punk, bro.
Amen. Nah.
This is a little daintily. You know, throwing the peace sign up, that was like,
nah,
that ain't him. He teaches how to suffer. That's why the Christian story, I think, is still relevant today and how it can be helpful to us.
There is
today.
No story on how to deal with life. I mean, that's one man showing you in the most toughest conditions, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he is like done in by society through and through.
Oh, yeah. It was the moral majority.
It gives nothing but love.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just wronged and wronged and wronged.
Right.
And then not only does he get dissed by all these people that he's like dying for, hey, tear him up in the process, man.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
So. You know, whether you don't got to be a religious person or a Christian to see the value in the Jesus story. The
Amen.
Jesus story tells us this is how you. And look, you and I both know men and women who have recovered. And they have a certain strength to them.
Mm-hmm.
They've shed the victim mindset.
Right.
Right?
They traded in for accountability.
Yeah. Okay, what's my part?
Yeah.
Let's handle
it. What do I got to do with this?
Let's deal with it.
How can I make it better?
Yeah, you can tell. You know, when I worked with Steve Harvey and them, my manager and friend David told me early on. He said, "Look, because I was trying to get out of accountability on something because it was complex and wasn't really all my fault, but it was kind of my area."
Right.
He said, "Look, Christian, all you got to do is just take responsibility." you take responsibility, even if it ain't all your fault, they will back up off you and let you fix it.
That's a freaking great lesson, too, right there.
And, dude, I tried it. All right, dude. All right, David. What do you say? You know, his name was David, too. And so.
It's like the guy the other night. My doppelganger.
Yeah. So I tried it. I said, okay, dude, let me try it. And something came up, and it wasn't all my fault, and it was complex. And I just said, I don't know what happened, but don't worry about it. I'm going to fix it. I'll figure it out what happened. Okay, cool. Backed up. Next time I saw him, it was all good. They weren't worried about it no more because I owned it. Yeah. What they had no patience for was it wasn't my fault. It wasn't, you know.
Because, well, this happened because, see, he was over here. I was standing right here.
Yeah.
But then he moved over there.
Right.
You know, that blame. That's a topic in itself right there.
Because they're moving. They're like, dude, we're managing TV shows and radio shows and events and we're doing commercials and, like, just get it fixed.
Yeah, because you ain't in court trying to get to the bottom of anything.
No.
Right? In life, you're not, like, stating your case. Or, hey, it'd be much better as a, hey, you ain't an angel in all this in any part of your life.
Yeah.
So man up, right?
Yeah.
And see what you can do about it.
But isn't that what we do, right? We're like little lawyers running around.
Yeah.
You know, pleading our case.
Well, yeah, because, see, okay, listen.
Justifying.
I was doing my best.
Yeah. What you're not going to do is blame me.
No, I know what I was doing. I was right the whole time.
Someone's got to be right.
I said it like this. I didn't raise
Someone's
my voice.
Someone's got to be wrong.
I didn't raise my voice. I was talking just like this. And then she just blew up. I had to leave.
And then I'm right here with you, Jesus. I don't know what happened.
I said, oh, you mad man.
Yeah, so like we like just justifying and and you know, and that's kind of like with the mystic moment, right? Like we're so caught up, and someone's got to be right, someone's got to be wrong. It's not my fault. It's your fault. You did it. You know.
I feel like not that I can really compare and contrast because, like I said, I have very limited like influence on like Eastern culture, but I know like. You know, the dudes seem, you know, Dalai Lama type cats over there and like Buddhist monks and Hindus and all that other, all the other spiritualities that are, you know, depicted as Far East culture and spirituality. I don't know if it's like everybody's fighting to be right over there like we are over here.
Right. When in seminary, when we studied Buddhism, I had a real hard time getting it.
Yeah.
And it's because I have a Western mindset. I think in binary, dualistic terms, good and bad, right and wrong.
No gray.
Right. Tell me when I'm doing it right. And I love my laws and my rules.
Right.
And then you go to look at an Eastern philosophy, religion, way of living, and it's like it's not operating with those same constraints.
Yeah.
So I had to get a book by Thich Nhat Hanh called Living Buddha, Living Christ.
Mm.
And Thich Nhat Hanh kind of like parallels the two and meshes them together, calls Jesus Lord. He recently passed away, a Buddhist monk, opened up a thing called Plum Village in France, very influential interfaith.
Is that what the app comes from?
Plum Village?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's, and even now, I still don't understand. Right, like
it's hard to grasp it, right?
Yeah, I'm reading a book right now on the 12 steps and Buddhism, and when he's saying things, I'm going, okay, I kind of know that term now. I kind of understand that. I mean, dude, a dream one is to go. There's a guy on YouTube who went and lived at a temple in Thailand and practiced Tai Chi with a Tai Chi master. Lived out there. And he documents his whole travel.
And now he's floating over walls.
I'm sorry. But like to be immersed, it's like I want to be immersed in that because there's something there. You know, I had a conversation with Adam Bromwich. You know Adam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Adam's always like, you know, he's way into all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Cool dude.
Yeah.
Shout out to Adam, man.
But sometimes like he talks about this illusionary and it's just a stillness and I always just kind of go, all right, dude, like I don't know.
Because it's hard.
I don't know how to take that.
Right.
How does that help me?
Right? Yeah, because it's almost like I can feel everything just like separating into you know, just floating, and I can't grab none of it when it goes way. Right. Even those pages you just read, I'm like, okay, let me try to tighten this up, see if I can get a hold of this. You know, I'm easily taken, you know, because of, I guess, my Western culture type of upbringing, you know, it being a dualistic good and bad. I it's hard for me to, you know, and I consider myself an open-minded dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's hard to crack that shell open.
Yeah. I mean, and you like the documentary American Spirit that's on there.
Oh, loved it.
Right. And we tackle this topic.
Oh, the duality part of that is really cool.
Yeah.
Watch that American Spirit, Most High app. Yeah. Turn that on.
And because we're like, because we exist in that kind of, you know, we're like, America is one of the most litigious societies on the planet.
Give me a definition.
Meaning we go to trial more than anybody else. Yeah. We have like more lawyers per capita than any other country. So I've been told.
I believe that.
Yeah.
And they're making fat money.
Right. So we are in, our society is on in that kind of thing. Like, you did me wrong. I'm going to sue you and take you to court. And then this person sitting up there is going to say, yep.
That person's Johnny Depp.
Yeah. Johnny Depp, who's going to play a judge in this next movie, that'd be brilliant. It's like, you know, I don't think you're guilty. You know? And so someone's wrong, someone's right.
Yeah.
So we're existing in that thing. So then when you come to a question like, why suffering? Why do bad things happen? You can't answer that question with right or wrong, good and bad. You can't just go, this is why. And when you attempt to, you lessen someone's reality of their suffering.
Yeah.
You pontificate and ideologize the whole thing. It's not real anymore.
Right.
And so you have to dig that and unpack that and live that. And that's the thing about, you know, I think as we continue on this path, and you said it, right? Sobriety, recovery, spirituality.
Yeah.
Right, and you start keep growing spiritually. There's a concept Richard Rohr says, which is everything belongs.
Oh,
everything belongs.
Yeah,
he said. Well, I don't know why everything belongs.
Right,
like these horrible things, like rape and murder and mass genocide and these things. And maybe it exists for us to respond to it in kind and in love. But if it didn't, if it wasn't meant to be here, it wouldn't exist.
Right.
So on some level that we don't understand, that's a problem for us.
Yeah.
There's more to the story that we don't understand.
Right. You can't show it to me?
I went to school for this.
Yeah.
You say I don't still don't understand.
What's the hypothesis of it? Yeah. No, that's good, man. And, you know, I think, man, you saying, you know, like God doesn't waste your pain is valuable. And that's some, like, you know, that gives reason, hardline reason for why things happen, good or bad. You know, you know, like I said, I said, you know, when you live a life with Jesus, he is like the ultimate, like, put you back on track no matter what happens, you know, because you're constantly off the track. But, you know, asking for his will to be done,
yeah,
sincerely, pops you back on the track for a little while.
Yeah. Until ask you make the next and then mistake. Surrender.
Yeah.
Right. We ask for his will, and then we just make up shit as we go along. Talk about that was his will.
The Lord. I feel like the Lord told me.
Yeah. No, man, I think this is I really appreciate this conversation. I like kind of going back and forth. It feels like natural. And this is the stuff we talk about.
This is
driving in the car to the event to do a screening in Mariposa.
Yeah.
These kind of conversations we have. Maybe there's some other stuff in there too, but we talk about these things.
More cussing, probably.
We think about these things. We're contemplating these things. And because we're seekers, and I think there's this guy, Sad Guru. You've seen him, really popular. And, he was on Joe Rogan's.
He is the guru now.
Yeah. He was saying that, you know, there's kind of levels, right? There's the seeker level. There's those of us who are seeking for the truth. It's things like illusion and why suffering and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's for those of us who are really trying to understand this thing.
Right.
And you and I believe would say we're trying to understand it so that we can be more helpful, so that we can be relieved of the bondage of self, right? And if thinking everything is an illusion or believing everything is an illusion helps us relieve the bondage of ourselves so that we can be more useful to our God and our people, then that's what we're going to do, right?
Yeah.
But not everybody is a seeker.
Right. Give me some other titles.
Well, some people, they just want to end the unnecessary suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And after that's done, they're good.
Right.
Right? There's some people, I know, I don't want to say their name, but like, I envy those kind of people. Because the unnecessary suffering is gone, and then they're just free.
They're all right.
You know, it's like those posts on Instagram, people are like, recovery, this was, now, since I got sober, everything's great. And I'm just thinking, shit. What am I doing wrong?
I mean, I love my life
for you.
Dealing
good
with
for
it,
you.
But it's not like, it's not rainbows, bro. I mean, it's hard, but, and it all, and you know, again, you know, I love going through life struggles right now and who I am today. And it's hard, man. Like, there's a lot of stuff.
Look, life is a lot better without cocaine.
Yeah.
But it's not perfect because I quit cocaine.
No.
It's not like now that I'm not.
There's a reason you took the cocaine in the first place.
Right.
Something happened.
Yeah. and that to me is what makes me alcoholic.
Yeah.
The fact that I don't need a substance to ruin the day.
Right.
My thinking and my selfishness can do it all by itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before
that's a topic
anything
for next week.
Yeah. Before anything, the insanity before picking up. You know what I mean? Dude, thank you, bro.
What's up, bro? Appreciate it.
Man, I love it, man. I really do, man. People, this was an episode of the Most High Show. My brother, the Reverend Christian Jansen, was able to sit down here after a cool-ass event we went to. I just can't say more about that. Wasn't that the coolest shit ever, dude?
Cool,
that was awesome, dude. You know, we hung out, our families hung out together for a while today with other families, and we fellowshipped in a very beautiful way through creativity and art, and it was just a blast. You know, and then after that, we are living such a blessed life in recovery that we're able to sit down with all this cool-ass equipment, all this electric lights and all this shit, and talk about cool subjects that are interesting to us, all with the hopes of giving hope to you.
And there's several, let me just interject.
Hello.
There are several people who aren't even ever going to crack the mic, who will never be in front of the camera, who have made all this possible.
Yes.
Who donate money.
Yes.
On a consistent basis.
Thank you.
Because they believe in what we're doing and they want to help end other people's unnecessary suffering too.
Yeah. And you'll never see them. And they, like Christian said, they donate on a consistent basis. Because they believe in helping and they believe what the Most High Show is doing in ending the stigma and helping people get to recovery and stay in recovery and, like, you know, deal with the struggles of life and spirituality and all those cool questions that we ask. And somebody sits in here every week, man, and tells you their story. And, like, man, what a vulnerable thing to, like, be honest about that and attempt to give us some good stuff off of that. So, listen, there is an app. It's called the Most High app. Download Most High Media in your Play Store. What does the cool Apple people do? What is their thing?
App Store.
App Store. I got an Android, man. But you know, the Most High app. You can get it. It's on every platform. The show's on every platform. We got documentaries. We got a series. We got docu-series. We got reality shows. We got spirituality, and we got topics like duality. We have the steps. We have people's, like, telling, man, giving up real stuff, man. And it's all in the name of, like, living a life in recovery, living soberly, understanding that, you know, like, life is good today. Because I didn't freaking pick up, bro. You know, I ain't got a needle in my arm no more. I ain't wasted and not doing nothing with my life. I'm a father today. I love my kids. My kids in the next room with my brother's family over here. And it's a beautiful thing, bro. Life in sobriety is awesome. Download the app. Thank you for watching the Most High Show. Later.
Peace.